Turn to the book of Joshua. While you're turning there, let me say we are thankful to be back here in the house of the Lord. We left out last Sunday afternoon, was not here Sunday night or Wednesday night, and took a few days just to, sometimes we say to relax, very seldom do we relax. And if you got grandkids, you don't relax too much, and they pretty well run the show, where to go, what to do, and all those things, but we did enjoy our time. But it's always good to be back in the Lord's house in His place. Continue to pray for my throat. Sometimes it doesn't do as well as I wish, and this morning is one of those times, and so you bear with me. But it's so much better. I'm not complaining, and so much better than it has been. And so we'll pray the Lord to help in all those issues. The book of Joshua is a very interesting book. In the Old Testament, it is a book of wars and a book of victories. It gives you a number of things that that happen in the history of Israel as they come into the Promised Land. And this morning, we're going to be in Joshua chapter number 6. We have dealt with some things in the first few chapters a few weeks ago. This morning, we'll be in last part of chapter 5. First part of chapter number 6. But just before we get there, let's rehearse a little bit of what has happened thus far in this book. In chapter number 1, we find that Joshua is chosen by the Lord, and he is now taking the place of Moses. And the Lord tells Joshua, he says, "As I was with Moses, so I shall also be with you." But you'll notice quite a few times in that first chapter. We'll not take the time to read them, but you'll find that the Lord says, "Be strong and of good courage." And the Lord was preparing Joshua for the days that were ahead of him, and he tells him to have courage in his life, to have strength in his life, and to go forward. And he says, "Be of good courage," and he says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall trod upon, God told Joshua, he said, I will give you that as a possession." In chapter number 2, we find that Joshua sends out spies to go into the Promised Land, and they find Rahab there, and she helps them. In chapter number 3, they pass over Jordan River, and they go from the wilderness into the Promised Land. Been a long time getting to this point. The children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness now 40 years, and because of the rejection earlier, God let many of those die in the wilderness. And now this new generation comes to the Jordan, and they pass over the Jordan. God gives them a clean, dry passage. We read that not too long ago, that the river was overflowed its banks, and so it was a miracle within itself that God gave to them as they passed over. In chapter 4, as they pass over, God gives them instruction to set up two memorials, one outside the river, on the banks of the river, and one on the inside, and so that they did that, so that those generations, those children that would come later, when they would see that memorial, they would ask why that's there, and there they could explain to them how God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage and out of the wilderness wanderings. In chapter number 5, I want us to read in verse number 13, chapter 5, we have this unseen captain that is there, and Joshua, he wants to make sure he's for him and not against him. And so we'll read this beginning in verse 13 and then read down some in chapter number 6. "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thee, unto thy hand, Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. The 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, and he gives them that instruction, and it goes and gives us the story of what takes place. Verse number 16. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord only. Rahab the harlot shall live, and all that are with her in the house, because she did hide the messengers that we sent. This morning we find these passage concerning the conquest of Jericho. Now, Joshua in his life had 3 great miracles that took place that the Lord presented to him that we have recorded in his book. As I said earlier, the book of Joshua is a book of war. It's a book of victory, but it's also a book of challenges and sometimes even defeats. The defeat is always because of the lack of the faith of God's people. You and I this morning, when we are defeated in the work of the Lord, it's not God's fault, it is our fault. It's not God's lack of ability, it's our sometimes lack of availability to serve Him and to do those things that God has for us. But these 3 main miracles that are recorded in his book, we find in chapter number 3, we mentioned it a while ago, when the Jordan River stood up on heap and they walked across on dry ground. That's a miracle within itself. And the Lord, as we mentioned, tells us that it is during the season of the flooding of the river. And it even tells you how far it was flooded out of the banks, and it's a number of miles that the Lord opened up that river and they walked across on dry ground. Now sometimes we see pictures that are depicting this scene, even the crossing of the Red Sea, and we find see a little path that they're crossing over, and not very big, but that was not the way it was. God opened the river, God opened it up, and millions of people walked across, and God gave them victory to cross the River Jordan, and now they're in the Promised Land. So that's the first miracle that Joshua sees. Then you see, we read this morning about the walls of Jericho. God gave them instruction how that they were to do that. As they followed that, the walls of Jericho fell. We know the story well. We hear the songs sometimes about that, how that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls fell down. And so those things are well known to us. And that's the second great miracle in Joshua's life. The third one is found in Joshua chapter number 10, when Joshua asked the Lord to help him to have victory over his enemy. And the Bible says God stopped the sun. The sun stood still, it said, for more than about a day's time. And the battle raged on. And that was a miracle that God gave to Joshua, that he was able to prevail over his enemy. And so Joshua's life is filled with a number of problems that come before him. The one that we look at this morning is the city of Jericho. And this city was a great city. It was a large city, but at this time, it's a city that the Bible says in verse number 1 that it was shut up because of the Jewish people, because of Israel, that they've just crossed the Jordan River, and the first thing they see, the first instance and anything that comes before them is this great city, And now the city sees this great host of people, and they shut their doors, they shut it up, and they are not going to have anything to do with these people that are called the Jew. And so we find this city of Jericho is a walled city. And God says, I'm going to give you everything before you. And God gives them the plan, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. So it's a walled city. The doors are shut, and they do not go in. They do not come out. And the excavations of this area has showed us that really Jericho had two walls, had an outer wall, had an inner wall, and on that inner wall probably is where Rahab lived and where she saw them coming, and she helped them and let them down where they could escape the spies. And so the outer wall was 6 feet wide and 12 to 15 feet tall. So it wasn't some little wall that you have. It was a great wall. The inner wall was 30 feet high and 12 feet across, according as they can tell by the ruins of that particular place. And so it's a stronghold. It's a place that is going to offer resistance to the will of God. Now, anytime you have a victory in your personal life as a Christian, you can rest assured there is going to be a turmoil before you. There's going to be a struggle that comes before you, because the devil does not want us to have victory. The devil does not want us to have joy. The devil does not want us to have anything that would help us to make progress in the work of the Lord that God has given to us. And God has a plan for all of our lives. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. And sometimes there's crooks and turns, and sometimes there's tragedy. Sometimes there's struggles that come before us. Sometimes there are walls that are before us that we could call our Jerichos. We can have those things come before us that would impede us from doing the will of the Lord. Brother Schaefer just said a moment ago there, seeking the will of God. Well, the devil does not want them to know the will of God. And he can put walls before them. He can put struggles and troubles before them to sometimes get us to go the wrong direction. That's when we have to get a hold of the Lord, have to know the will of God, have to have peace in our heart, and to have the joy that comes from the Lord. And so Joshua now has experienced a great victory. Here's the Jordan River. It's flooded. How are we going to get across? God says, everything before you, everywhere you put the sole of your feet, God says, I'm going to give you victory on that. And immediately when they come across, the first thing they find is this great city of Jericho. It's walled. It has its protection. It has its garrison. It has everything to protect it. And God says, you're going to have to go in and destroy the city of Jericho. Now, here's a group of people that have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They know nothing about war. They know nothing about the struggles. They know nothing of what is facing them. But they have a man that's in tune with the Lord. His name is Joshua. And God says, Joshua, now let's try to put in our hearts how we would feel if we were coming up behind a man like Moses. Moses is a great patriarch of Israel. He's a great man of the Old Testament. He's a great man of the history of Israel. And here's this young man, Joshua, and God says, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. But yet he's got to have the mind of the people. He's got to have the folks that are with him to support him and to follow his direction. And so here is Jericho standing before them. It stands sometimes as a mockery. Sometimes it's a problem that is before us, as our Jericho sometimes is. In chapter 2 and verse number 1, I think I have this. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jordan. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And they spy out the land, and they know what all is there. And now Jericho stands before them, and Joshua is coming ready to do the battle. And in chapter 5, where we read, he sees the vision of a captain with his sword drawn. And all of a sudden, Joshua said, are you for us or are you against us? I believe I'd want to know the same thing. Are you for us or are you for our adversary? And aren't you glad for the sweet voice of the Lord? I believe this was a Old Testament vision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the captain of the host. And aren't you glad when he comes along? And Joshua, he is fearful and afraid. And he says, are you for us or are you for our enemy, our adversary? And he tells us in verse number 14, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. Here the Lord gives Joshua a clear understanding as to who he is. He's the captain of the Lord's host. And you know what he does? He's the one that fights the battle. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God fights our battle, who's going to defeat us? If God's for us, no one can be against us, and we can have victory in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are, Joshua standing, and he sees the adversary, he sees the city shut up, no one moving in or out, and he sees this vision of a captain. He has his sword drawn. He said, I want to know who you're for. And he says, I'm standing before you now as the captain of the Lord's host. Thank God. I know who the captain is, don't you? As a believer, as a Christian, he's the captain of the Lord's army. He's my captain. He's your captain as a child of God. And so Joshua stands before this city, and it is a place that's trying to deter him from going forward. Everything in your life, God wants you to go forward. God doesn't want us to back up. God doesn't want us to remove. He wants us to go forward. He does not want us to remove the ancient landmarks that have been set there. We're to stand forward and stand firm in the things that he has given to us. And this world tries to defeat us. This world tries to destroy us. This world mocks us. And sometimes our Jericho make fun of us. Sometimes those struggles in our life will come along and the devil say, who do you think you are? How do you think you're going to survive? How do you think you're going to do what God wants you to do? You're nothing. And so he sometimes mocks us and brings things to us that would destroy the will of God for our life. We have our Jerichos of sin. We have our Jerichos of indifference, of materialism and jealousy and closed doors. All those things that come before us that try to stop us from going forward in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll let you think for a few moments. All of our Jerichos may be different. What maybe bothers you does not bother me. And what bothers me may surprise you. We all have those areas and issues in our life. And we can just classify them as our Jerichos. They're there. And sometimes they seem insurmountable. Sometimes it seems impossible that we might win and be able to go forward. I'm glad this morning we have the captain of the Lord's host. I'm glad we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give to you. And so Joshua here is standing at Jericho, and he is trying to determine, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Have you ever had something in your life you didn't know how you was going to accomplish what you needed to do? Sure. Brother Schaefer, do you ever wonder, how in the world am I going to do what God wants me to do? Sure. We all have those areas that we wonder, how in this world am I going to accomplish what I know God wants me to do? Brother Gallagher, have you ever had those problems in your life? Sure we have. In our ministries, there are things that come before. We know what God wants. We desire in our heart what God wants, but we don't have the answer as to how to receive it or how to get it. That's that Jericho that stands there, mocks us and makes fun of us, and the devil puts in our heart and our minds a number of things that would deter us from the will of God. You see, there is a perfect will of God, and there is a permissive will of God. I want to be in the perfect will of God. And sometimes God permits me to do things because I desire to do it, and usually I'm wrong. He permits me to do it to teach me a lesson, but he usually gets me back into the will and the perfect will of God for my life. We all struggle with that. We all struggle with Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? Dear Lord, how am I going to handle this problem? It may be a financial problem. It may be a materialistic problem of our life. It may be a health problem. I'll tell you what, you can get up healthy one day and next day not be so healthy. We can be well one day and next day we're not so well. And so how do we get across our Jericho? How do we conquer that? Standing at Jericho watching that. The answer to our Jericho, I believe, is found in our prayer closets. It's found on our knees. It's found in that time that we pray to the Lord and we ask God for guidance, for direction, and for Him to direct our footsteps and to direct our paths. I will hide His word in my heart that I might not sin against God. His word is like a light unto our path. It's a place that we can go and have direction gives to us. The only thing that we can do in our own strength is fail. But I'm glad we have a captain. I'm glad we have one that will help. So the Jerichos are there. If we was to take time this morning, and if we would, we could probably say two or three different things in our lives right now that we're dealing with that's deterring us or troubling us or giving us a problem to stay true and stay in the perfect will of God. I mean, we have that. That's that struggle between the world, the flesh, and the devil that comes against us. We struggle against the world. I'll tell you what, I don't even like to turn on the news anymore. I despise listening to some of the things. The flesh always warring against the spirit. Paul himself even said, those things that I would not do, I end up doing. Those things that I want to do, I leave them undone. And that's that war that we have with the flesh every day. We have it Monday morning. We have it Monday evening. We have it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We really have a war sometimes. Do I do this or do I do what I need to do for the Lord? Our lives are filled with opportunities to not serve God. Our lives are filled with the desires of the heart and the flesh that sometimes take us away from it. And those are those Jerichos that we have to deal with. The answer to my Jericho and to your Jericho is not found in our methods. It's not found in committees or personalities. That'll not do it. Our answer is found on our knees before God and say, Lord, give me direction. Give me peace. I think that's the most wonderful thing that a child of God can have in their life. First of all, is peace with God and salvation. But it doesn't stop there. I'm glad I'm saved, but I don't like the battle. I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm glad I know I'm going to heaven. But sometimes the daily struggle poses a real difficulty of me having peace. What do I do? What decision do I need to make? There's decisions we have to make in our lives that sometimes are lasting decisions that will never, never return. Our Jerichos are there. And really and truly, God knows we're going to fail in our own self. That's why He's the captain. That's why He is the one that leads us. Number 10 here, Joshua tells them in verse number 10, Joshua had commanded the people saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. There is a time that we just need to sit still and be quiet. There is a time, there's sometimes days, weeks, sometimes even months, that we just have to sit before the Lord and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know the answer. I don't know what my decision should be. I don't know how to handle this. And then say, Lord, you're just going to have to help me. And stand before him in peace and quietness. Joshua knew the instructions of the Lord. He had received those there in verses number 2 through 5. We read there where the Lord says how to take the priests. You go around the city for 6 days one time. On the seventh day, you go around 7 times. Joshua is the only one that knew what he's supposed to do. And he was the leader of this great nation of Israel that's just now entered into their homeland. And by the way, it's still their homeland. And it will forever be their homeland. And so, here is Joshua. He says, no talking, no noise. Just watch and see what God does. Sometimes it's a wonderful thing just to sit back and watch and see what God does. Can God do miracles today? Yes, he can. If our God couldn't do miracles today, he wouldn't be God. He may not do what we think he should do. He may not act like he did in days gone by, but he can still do as he pleases because he is God. He is the sovereign. That means he has control of all of it. The Bible says he is so controlling that he even holds the hearts of the kings of this world in his hand. And he moves them and makes them do what he wants them to do for his perfect purpose and will for this world. The things that we see are going on in our world today didn't take God by surprise. He's moved them into place. It hasn't taken God. It hadn't shocked God of how America has reacted. In our country, whether you want to believe it or think about it, our country is in trouble today with God. Our world is in trouble with God. And God is taking all this, and none of those things have problemed him a bit. None of those things has given him a headache or given him sorrow. Friday, when the stock market went down 610 points, didn't bother God a bit. Didn't bother me either, by the way. But God knows all those things. And he has control of all those things. And by the way, that may be part of our Jericho. We have to deal with loss that we had nothing to do with. And so we find that Joshua says, he stands before them now. He says, just be silent. You do what God tells you to do and just don't talk. Don't shout. No talking. Nothing. As we read those verses in 2 through 5. And Joshua submits to the will of the Lord. Now, can you imagine how that city of Jericho must have felt when they saw this group of people walking around their city once a time for 6 days? Don't you know they thought, well, that's a crazy bunch out there. Sort of like the world thinks about us today. Well, we're silly to hold on to the old-fashioned biblical truths. Well, we don't have to live that way. We're more progressive than that. Now, we don't have to have all that today. We are smarter than they were years ago. Well, years ago, they maybe couldn't read their name in boxcar letters, but they knew how to get a hold of God. So who's the smarter? And so here Joshua says, You go around them once a day. Let the priests go. And they go before you. And you go around that city one time. 6 days. That's 6 times. Now on the seventh day, he's got his instructions from the captain, remember. The captain knows how to fight the battle. All Joshua's doing is delivering the message. That's what we do. We just deliver the message. And on the seventh day, you go around that city 7 times. And so here they are, one time around. And the people of Jericho probably said, well, there's that crazy bunch out there. They're doing it again. And then all of a sudden, they go around it again. They say, huh, they're doing something different today. And they go again and again and again. And they get to that seventh time, and Joshua says, "When I tell you to shout, you shout. Now you be quiet until I tell you to shout." There's a time to be quiet, and praise the Lord, there's a time to shout. There's a time to rejoice, Brother Gallagher. There's a time that we ought to be happy in the Lord. There's a time that we can get a hold of God and realize what He's done for us. And we shout for the victory that God has before us. And here we find that he submits to the will of the Lord as he goes around Jericho. Now in that week, that 7 days, they've gone around that city 13 times. It was probably given to them that they might show they have no strength of their own. Them walking around didn't get it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That didn't do anything. They get to the seventh day, which is Sabbath day. I should have started out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, because they're going to the seventh day, which would be our Saturday. They get to that, and one time around, two times around, the people think, we haven't done this before. The people looking over the wall, they said, they're out there walking around. That's all they're doing. Sometimes the world looks at us and says, they're a bunch of crazies out there just believing God. Just believing what this book says. Just accepting it for what it says. Not trying to explain it or explain it away. Just believe it. We have a message. We have the Word of God. And it's forever settled. It's never changing. It's not a continual process of revelation. We have the revelation of the Lord. It's from Genesis to Revelation. And that's the final authority that God has given to mankind. Anything over and above that is null and void. And He's given us the directions. All we have to do is follow what God gives us. The problem is, about the fourth time around the wall, we begin to say, well, this is not working. We begin to say, why are we doing this? Why do we have to do it this way? There's people that come under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they say, why do I have to do salvation this way? Because God said it's that way. Why does the baptism not take me to heaven? Because baptism is the answer of a good conscience, our conscience toward God. It's not the saving element. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the element that saves us. Well, why don't my good works take care of it? Because God says where none of our works are good, they're all as filthy rags. So why do I have to do it God's way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Why can't I go this way? Why can't I follow Allah? You can follow Allah and you'll die and go to hell. He is not the Savior. Why can't I follow Confucius? Why can't I follow Buddha? Why can't I follow the Shinto? Why can't I follow all the religions of the world? They're all sincere. Yes, but they're sincerely wrong. Some of the most sad people I've ever met are religious people that are sincere in their religion. And they're wrong. According to our authority. He's our captain, so therefore he can give us any direction he wants. And so they're going around the city. And it came to pass, verse 16, at the seventh time, something happened different now. They haven't just walked and marched as they had before. Now all of a sudden, the priest blow the trumpets. And Joshua said to the people, all I have to do is one word, because he's already told us, when I tell you to shout, you shout. They blow the trumpet. Joshua says, shout! And they shout. You know what happens? Walls fall down. What a great miracle. It's a shout of victory. You know what the central figure of this whole marching group is. It's not Joshua. It's not necessarily the priest, but it is that Ark of the Covenant that represents the true and living God. In this chapter, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned about 10 or 11 times. That's the central figure. You know what's the central figure of everything we do? It's our God. And He is the one that gives us the shout of victory. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 16. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only one person survived, and that's Rahab, that we know of as the harlot. Isn't it amazing how sometimes what we were remains in our, what people think about us? Rahab, the harlot. Oh, but I tell you what. She's the only one of the city that and her family that survived. Why? Because she was kind and open to the people of God. It's a type of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world around us may falter and fail and fall and die. But if we know God, we're going to survive. Do I worry about my country? Yes, I do. I worry about it for these children that are growing up and those that will never know the nation, the country that I knew. The security that we once had now has been given away, little by little. The borders are open, so anybody can come in, do anything, get anything. We have a problem in our country. But you know what? For you and I as a child of God, we have a captain. Our nation may have a president, and we'll have a president now and after November, whoever it might be. But the captain of our salvation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. How did Joshua defeat his Jericho, literally? By just following the plan that God gave. How will we defeat our Jerichos? How will we respond when we get the news things are not like we think they ought to be? How do you feel when you get the news that your body is not doing like it's supposed to do? How do we feel when actions of others defeat us so many times? How do we handle our Jerichos? Too many times we quit. Too many times we fret. Too many times we stop following orders. Too many times we pack our bags and we just go home. Too many times we just say, I'm tired. Too many times we say, I give up. Now, in Joshua's Jericho, if they'd went around that city six times and not done the seventh, you know what? Jericho would have defeated Joshua. God has a plan. The plan must be followed. They followed the plan. God gave them. Verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down. What's that last word? Flat. That's a miracle in itself. How are you going to get a 12 or 18 foot wall to fall down flat? God can do that. They followed the plan that God gave them, and God gave them the victory that He desired. So there's a victory. They've had the victory of crossing the Jordan River. And there's Jordan. Jordan's crossed over. They come to Jericho. They've had pretty good victories. They come to Ai, the next city. And here's where we have to be very careful. When we have victory, we become very proud and say, look what I've done. God's blessed me. Look what I have done. We don't have time to go into the city of Ai. But when they went there, it wasn't too strong a city. It wasn't a very big city. It wasn't a very powerful city. By the way, not everything has to be a big walled city to bring us down. And they go into Ai, so self-confident, and there they are defeated. And they have to run. And the struggle is there because of the rebellion of an individual. Just because he wanted what he thought he needed. So may God help us to face our Jerichos. What's your Jericho this morning? Only you can answer that. What's my Jericho? Where's my struggle? What do I have to make a decision on? What do I have to do? What do we have to do? I'm glad we have a captain. And he's not for the adversary. The adversary right now seems to be winning the battle. The only problem is, we know the last chapter of the book. The captain, the host of the Lord, is going to win the battle. The devil may win some skirmishes and he may win some struggles, but the battle is the Lord's. It's his. And he can handle whatever situation, whatever need that comes up in my life, and whatever need comes up in your life, and they do come. Oh, preacher, nothing's going on in my life right now. Just wait a while. Nothing's wrong right now. Just wait a few days. It might take a week or so. It might take a month. It might even take a year or so. But the struggle will appear. And Jericho, that walled city, will stand before you. And you'll have to say, how'd I do this? What's the right decision? Do I do this? Or this? Or this? And the only way you're going to get the victory, the only way you're going to get the answer, is the captain has to tell us. And he's able to do that. He uses circumstances. He uses people. He uses his word. He uses any number of things to let us know, this is what I want. And one of the greatest things in the life of a believer is when you can stand and say, I know the will of God. I know what God wants me to do. I know he wants me to go this direction, and I know he wants this procedure, or I know he wants this, or I know he wants that in my life. When we can have that peace, then just go toward Jericho and win the victory. Because he is the captain. He's the one that leads us. Let's stand together this morning.